begin this missionary weekend convention by turning to the order of service, to the opening hymn. As you do so, we welcome you in the Saviour's precious name to this opening meeting. There's a call comes ringing, O the restless wave, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light. Missionary weekend will have an impact upon our lives in some way or another. I trust tonight that there will be a greater intensity to pray for the Great Commission, for the work of the Gospel as it goes forth from shore to shore. We pray also that there will be a missionary vision intensified in all of our hearts as we seek to lift up our eyes afresh and look on the fields. I pray that cold hearts will be warmed and that God will touch all of our lives tonight, lives yielded, handed over to the Lord for his work. There may be missionaries among you tonight that God will call, ministers of the gospel, those that will help in missionary endeavor, those who will come alongside, maybe visit the mission field on a short-term basis. Be very sad if you came to tonight and other meetings and you weren't moved at all. So we want to pray. We want to pray now and seek the Lord. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come, the blessing of God to descend, and the challenge to be felt in all of our hearts, the Word of God to come with power and freshness. Glad to have the chairman of the mission board. He's going to come and open in prayer, bring greetings to us on behalf of the Mission Board. And then the choir will not be singing tonight, the Hebron Choir. I'll explain that later. But we will have the missionary report, the first one, from our sister Christina Logan, who is going to be a child's evangelist in the very near future. Is a child's evangelist now, but in a very official way in the near future. Mr. Harris, we're glad to have you. Thank you for the work that you do as the chairman of the Mission Board and the example that you are to the denomination.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Park this evening for his warm words of welcome. It's a great joy to be with you and to look out and see so many gathered in on this Friday evening, not only from the local congregation here in Hebron, but from many of our other churches. It's a real blessing, and we welcome you in the Lord's great name. I commend the minister and the session, committee and congregation here for their continued vision and for that emphasis they've put on missionary work, and we thank God for you. And I know over the years that this missionary weekend has impacted many lives, and through it God has raised up labourers for the Lord's harvest field and thrust them forth. We were singing in our opening praise, "Send the Light," and we're glad we're still a sending church, sending people into the Lord's harvest field at home and abroad, and helping to send that glorious light of the gospel of Christ across our world. One of those great commissioning texts that we find in the Gospels is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 21-22. We read, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, 'Receive ye the Holy Ghost.'" We know tonight that this is not only the first meeting in the missionary weekend, but it is a special sending forth service for Sister Miss Noreen McAfee. And may the Lord truly put his hand upon her and upon others in the gathering, and may we all feel and sense the Lord's presence driving us forward and sending us forth. So please let's unite our hearts together in prayer as we seek the Lord this evening. Our loving God and Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the wonderful privilege afforded to us of drawing nigh into thy presence in the attitude of prayer. We thank thee for our great King and High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee through him we draw nigh to God. We thank thee for that great once and for all offering that he made for sin and for uncleanness. And we thank thee for the work of Calvary. We bless thee that on that centre cross the Lord Jesus broke the power of Satan. And we thank thee that we can plead Calvary and that blood of the new covenant for our victory in the work of God at home and abroad. We thank thee that our Saviour not only died an atoning death, we thank thee that he rose victorious over the grave. And we thank thee that he is our ascended, risen Saviour. And we thank that he reigns in heaven this evening. And he is sending forth his word. And we thank thee for the triumph of the gospel. We rejoice that from every nation, from every kindred, from every tongue, on that last day, there will be the redeemed of God gathered in. And we thank thee for the great instrumentality that God is pleased to use to gather in those for whom the Saviour died. We thank thee for the glorious evangel of redeeming grace. And we thank thee for that good news that Jesus saves. And we pray as a church, at home and abroad, that thou wilt permit us, Lord, and enable us to proclaim that glorious message, and that God the Spirit will use it and bless it, and may it be a means in his hands of bringing multitudes to Christ. We thank Thee that not only did the Saviour send forth His disciples, but He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And we claim that precious promise again this evening. We pray that Thou will breathe upon us afresh and anew the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and that Thou wilt equip us in our day and generation to serve Thee. And through Spirit-anointed preaching and Spirit-filled individuals, may we see in this new year that Thou spurred us to see of 2019, new ground taken for God. We thank Thee for this missionary convention. We thank Thee for those who had the vision of commencing it over 51 years ago. And we thank Thee for the minister and the session and committee here who continue that vision and keep the flame lit. We pray that Thou will bless them. And we pray, our Father, that Thou will bless every meeting throughout the weekend, every individual who will take part, and the special ministries in song, and especially the going forth of Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt make a highway for it. Encourage the saints of God, we ask of Thee. May we strengthen our hold upon the ropes for those that have gone over the wall. And may it be even an instrument in the hand of God this weekend in laying hold of young and old who will recommit and rededicate their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and the great missionary cause. And remember those that are with us still unconverted and out of Christ. We pray that even these meetings would be used of God in bringing souls to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we wait before Thee, and as we wait before Thee, we ask, dear Lord, that Thou will breathe Thy Spirit upon us, and in all things we pray that Christ will have the preeminence, and He will have all the glory, for we ask this in His name. Amen.
I want to thank Reverend Park for the kind words of welcome here tonight to Balmoney and for allowing me to come and to be part of this very special weekend here in Balmoney and to share with you the work that I hope to do for the Lord amongst the boys and girls here in Northern Ireland. And I am truly thankful to the Lord that He has given me this work for Him to do amongst the boys and girls. And I do believe it is a great privilege for me to be involved in it. I began my deputation meetings in March of last year, and I'm just over two-thirds of the way through those meetings. I know it has been a real encouragement for me to go around all the different churches up and down the country, and especially to hear the prayers of the fellow believers in those churches, not only for myself, but for the boys and girls even associated with those churches, and for the boys and girls in the communities around those churches. And that, like I said, has been a real encouragement and a real joy for me, even to hear boys and girls being prayed for by their names. And I would ask people to continue to pray that the boys and girls in their churches, in their communities, would even come and that would come out to the meetings and that they would come and to hear the good news of the gospel. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of 3 John, John's letter there to Gaius, says there in verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know, that should be the greatest joy of every Christian here tonight, the greatest joy of every Christian parent, of every children's worker, of every believer, that they have no greater joy than to hear that their children are walking in the truth. And our hearts should fill with joy when we hear of boys and girls coming to see the Lord as their Saviour, and when we hear of even children who are saved going on with the Lord and continuing to walk in the truth of the Word of God. I know if you do have that joy in your heart when you hear boys and girls coming to know the Saviour, your Lord has placed that joy in your heart for a reason. And I'd ask you to seriously consider and to pray about giving up more of your time, more of your talents over to the children's work, and even be greater involved in the children's work, even in your own churches. And the great thing is that there are so many opportunities within our churches, even within the Youth Council, to get involved in children's work and to go out and to reach the boys and girls with the gospel. And whatever part you may play, however small, however big, you know, that is a great part and a vital part to play in this important aspect of God's harvest field. And hopefully, if we all do get more involved in God's in this part of God's work. We will have much cause to rejoice as we hear of many children coming and hearing about the truth of the Word of God. We'll hopefully show a short presentation now that will tell you a little bit more about my call into this part of God's work. And at the end, you will hear some prayer requests that I would ask you to pray for, even in your private times, especially concerning getting into schools, even around, especially for the moment, this area of Antrim and North Antrim, that the Lord would open those doors of opportunity into those schools, and that even I will have favour with the teachers and especially with the children. And ultimately, I would ask you to pray that the boys and girls throughout this land will come to know the truth of the gospel, that God so loved them that he sent his only son to die on the cross for their sins, and that they will come and put their faith and trust in the Lord and give their lives over to him. Thank you very much. Fear of the unknown, of whether I would be able to do it, of whether I had the ability to do it. And so I held back a little bit, but I did know deep down that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. He had placed that burden on my heart, that love for the children, for a reason. And I knew in my heart that he wanted me to go into full-time children's work. I really had a clear vision of what I wanted to do for my life. I wanted to go to a university, I wanted to study there, but I realised that I wasn't seeking the Lord's will for my life in that aspect. And it was through a friend of mine, she had asked me if I'd ever consider going to Bible college, and that was a real start of my real journey towards that point where I realised that the Lord wanted me to go to Bible college. For what reason, I didn't know at that point. But I just knew in my heart that the Lord wanted me to go and study further in Bible college. So I did apply when I was going to drop out of school in lower six, so finish school and not finish in upper six. But again, I was told to wait a year. And in hindsight, I can see why, to finish my education, and I can see the Lord's hand in it all. But going through that year was quite difficult. At the start, I was like, yes, it's fine, it's the Lord's will, just have to be patient. But as the months went on, it got harder and harder. And it was a real time where I had to learn to be patient and to wait in the Lord. In the hindsight, looking back, it worked out fine, and I'm glad that I was told to wait that year. But it was difficult going through that, but the Lord did help. I had that burden for children through college. When I started really getting into children's work, I really began to love it. I began to have a real burden for the souls of the boys and girls here. And then going to Liberia, yes, I had a burden for the children there, but again, there was also that deep, that kind of burden in my heart for the children back at home. And it did grow, strangely. I know it sounds strange being in Liberia, but it did grow in my heart in Liberia for the children here at home. And so I got involved in our children's work in our own church, in our local church, and I began to do Bible clubs, Holy Bible clubs, that even go around different churches and do children's meetings and things like that. But I knew that the Lord wanted me to go further for him, but there was a little bit of fear that kept me back. Fear of, well, what does this mean for the future? Am I able to do this? Do I have the experience? Do I have the ability to be able to work full-time as a children's worker? For a while I held back. I was like, I don't want to do this, you know. And it was actually one Sunday night here at church in home, Reverend McLeod was speaking on Numbers 32 verse 6. And it says there some lines of, you know, are you going to sit here while your brethren go to war? And it spoke to me that, you know, I was sitting, I was doing nothing for the Lord. I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. And other people were out there working with children. They were trying to win children to the Lord. And I was sitting in church really doing nothing. I wasn't going out and doing what the Lord wanted me to do. And so that night I spoke to Reverend McLeod and I said, I want to apply to the mission board to become a full-time children's worker. And so I applied. And I accepted it in December of 2017. So my vision for the first term as a children's worker here in Northern Ireland is to be able to go into schools, even start locally in our own schools, in our own area of Antrim, North Antrim, and to really establish even a relationship with those schools and those communities, and to be available to churches around the area too for children's meetings, Bible clubs, things like that. And ultimately the vision is that boys and girls will come to know the Lord as their own and personal saviour. Children are the future of the church, and the Bible tells us that they can be saved. The Lord himself said, suffer little children to come unto me. And so they need to be taught. That's why we need to go out. We need to teach them about the Bible, teach them about creation, about the fall, and their need of a saviour. And that is our prayer, and that is my prayer, that children will come to know the Lord and be saved.
Thank you, Christina, for the report, for the presentation. You've got a great wee accent there from North Antrim. You'll go far. You definitely will. My sister Lauren was home a year ago. She came to speak to the Youth Fellowship. And that sowed a little seed in our minds and hearts. And the thought was, maybe we could go to Uganda and visit Emmanuel Christian School and do a vocational Bible school there with the children. So that's developed a little bit. We've got the backing of our session here. We've got the encouragement of the mission board. And our youth leader and his family are going. And he's going to tell us something now about his aspirations for a special time, God willing, this July. Brother Samuel Johnson.
Good evening. I must admit that my initial reaction in standing here is to maybe feel a bit out of place whenever I compare the years of service that others will give to the mission field and compare it to us going for a bit over a week. I maybe feel a bit of an imposter to be standing here, but I want to relate something of the burden of our hearts and our plans to go to Uganda over the summer with the young people. Hebron has always been a missionary-minded church. I suppose having 51 annual missionary weekends is testament to that. And the Youth Fellowship is no exception to that. And any time there is a missionary home, we try to get the opportunity to bring them along to the youth. As the Reverend Park said, Noreen was with us at the end of 2017. She told us about her work there, having recently moved to Uganda. And the Reverend Park asked who would like to go. There was a number of hands went up, my own included, and that's where this really has progressed from. So what is the plan? At the moment we have just over a dozen going. The Reverend Park is going to lead us. We're going to leave on the last Friday of June, and we will be in Uganda for 9 days. We're going to run a vocational Bible school, or for those of us in Ulster, a holiday Bible club. And that'll be from the Monday to Friday, and then probably go out for a trip with the children on the Saturday and have a wrap-up meeting on the Lord's Day. Now, some of our young people are going to speak during the rest of the missionary weekend, so I don't want to steal their thunder and tell you too much of what will happen. But suffice to say, it will be run very much along the lines of something similar back home here. And the overwhelming aim of it is to point them to the Lord, is to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there will be sports, there will be games, there will be crafts with them as well. Tonight, really, I want to just relate why we're going and the reasons behind taking a group to Uganda. And I've got four reasons. I'm sure there's many more reasons why you could put down here, but I've got four I want to share with you tonight. And the first one, I suppose, anything that you want, that you're going to do in the service of the Lord must be for his glory, and it must be for his honour. And we want to see God's kingdom advanced when we're there. We want to see children saved. We want to see God blessing the labour of our hands when we're there. So that's the first and the most important reason as to why we're there. Secondly, we want to be an encouragement to our sister Noreen and to the other missionaries who are there. Without fail, every time Noreen is home, she is a tremendous encouragement to us. Her faithfulness in God's work over many years is an example to each of us. But I'm quite sure that the mission field does be a lonely place at times, and there are many difficulties, there are many problems, and there are there's much work and labour to be done. So I'm sure the team there in Uganda will be glad to see us coming. Perhaps after 9 days they'll be glad to see us going as well. But Noreen will maybe tell you more about that later on. But we want them to know that when we say that we're praying for them, that it's more than just words, that we're prepared to pray and we're prepared to come and be practical and be fellow labourers with them in the land. The third reason that that we're going is we want to give our young people a missionary vision. DVDs and PowerPoint presentations and all the rest, they all have their place and they're all a good way of bringing information back home. But there's nothing's going to give any of us an insight into the work of a missionary like being there, like living it, even if it is only for a week. The sights and the smells and the sounds and the climate and the creepy crawlies and the daily struggles, the difficulties on a day-to-day basis that a missionary experiences, but also the blessings and the encouragements that they experience. We want the young people to lift up their eyes, look in the fields and see the harvest that is already white, and that they will see those around them who need the gospel. We want them to be willing to say, "Here am I, send me," if that's what the Lord would have them to do. And if being a missionary is not what the Lord would have them to do, then we want them to be those who will pray fervently when they come home and pray more intelligently for the mission field. The last reason that I want to share with you that we're going is we want to be an encouragement to our young people. We want to encourage them to walk closely with the Lord, to read his word more expectantly, to pray more earnestly. These young people, they are the church of today, but they're also the church leaders of tomorrow. And they will be the future Sunday school teachers and the future missionaries and children's workers and pastors, Christian parents of tomorrow. And we want them to be those who have proved the Lord in their youth and those who will be able to trust him as an ever-faithful God in the future. Perhaps just in passing, can I ask you to be an encouragement to the young people in your own church? Young people are often criticised. They often have the finger pointed at them. But they are growing up in a difficult world. They're growing up in a world where good is called evil and evil is called good. There are many distractions and discouragements in the things of God for them. But can I ask you to come alongside them and be an encourager to them, be a Barnabas to the young people in your church. So as I finish, we need your prayers as we go. We can't do this on our own. We wouldn't want to do it in our own strength. Pray for our safety as we travel there and while we're there. Pray for our health and pray that God will bless our labours for him in that land, and that we will know the experience of the last verse of the book of Mark, where we find that the Lord was worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. Our young people are going to sing now. Is that right? My ear.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, they can start coming up. We've had to save a little bit of time. So young people, come on up. Thank you, Samuel. Thank you for your report. Thank you for being such an encouragement to our young people and for giving good leadership to them every Friday night. The Hebron Choir didn't sing. They will be singing, God willing, tomorrow night and on the Lord's Day. But our sister, Sylvia Buick, who is the choir director, took ill this week on Monday. And that necessitated her going into hospital for a couple of days. So she's recovering at home. Do remember her in prayer. But the Youth Fellowship are here, and they're going to sing just now. May the Lord bless their ministering song.
We have heard.
Thank you very much to the young people for singing and reminding us of that great theme that Jesus saves, and bringing us to think about the nations of the earth. And it is the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. And that's what we're about in this denomination. Very glad to have our sister, Miss Nori McAfee. Soon she will be returning to the land of Uganda. She's been with us now since September, going around the churches, doing her deputation meetings. And on this Friday night of the missionary weekend, we are incorporating her farewell, her sending forth service, as we send her out for the next term. Just in a moment, she's going to come and speak to us. And then at the end of the service, the chairman of the board will have something to say, and there will be special prayer. And then on the Lord's Day evening, she will be setting some prayer requests before her congregation here, and the session will also commit her to the Lord in prayer. We're glad that you're here, Nori. We're glad that your meetings went well around the churches. We invite you to come and speak to us now.
Well, it is a joy to be here in Ballymoney, my home congregation, for this missionary conference. And it's a delight to see all the people who have come and the many friends who are gathered in tonight. And I trust the Lord will bless us over this weekend. As you've heard, I'll be bringing prayer requests, God willing, on Sunday evening. So if you want to hear the prayer requests, you have to wait until then. But tonight, first of all, I would like to thank all of you, and I would like to thank the Mission Board and the Missionary Council and the Reverend Park and his wife and family and my home church here in Ballymoney and all the churches that I have visited for your kindness and encouragement as I have gone around on deputation. I want to thank you for your interest in the work of God in Uganda and for your prayers and for your giving. And I want to plead with you that you would continue to pray for that work. I also want to thank the Lord for all his goodness to me over these past months, and also for all his goodness to us as a team there in Uganda, for bringing the Millers back to the field last spring, for the safe arrival of Hannah as the new Mrs. Foster, as Andy's wife, there also in the month of September. And we thank the Lord for all that he has been to us as a team, and for all that he has done for us as a team, and for how he has helped us and taken care of us and provided for our needs. I also want to thank the Lord for all that he has done for the church there at Imani. And we're glad that the church has been licensed. It's able to conduct weddings, and we're looking forward to the wedding of Master Israel and Madam Lillian in May time, I believe, and do pray that that will go as planned. We thank God for all the people who have attended. We've had good attendances, even over the school holiday, and especially on Christmas Day. I think there were 70 people in the meetings, and we give the Lord praise for that. And just for the labours of the Reverend Miller and his wife, and for all his ministry there on the Lord's Day, and in the Sunday school, the midweek meeting, and Bible study, and for all that is done there at Emmanuel Church. We thank the Lord for that opportunity and for that door that has been opened. And we thank the Lord for those who had the vision to start that work. And it's good to have the Reverend Noel Kelly and his wife here tonight. I want to appreciate them also and to praise God for them and for the work that they handed over to the Mission Board there at the beginning of 2017. We also thank the Lord for his hand upon us as a school. And the Lord has been good to the school in the year that has gone past. We thank him for all the physical and practical improvements that have been done, and for those who have helped us with that. We think of the labours of Andy there in a very practical way, and the many hours of work that he has put into improving the facilities. And we thank those who came out to help him, and that was a tremendous encouragement, and also for those, of course, who financed the work that needed to be done. And we know there's much more work to be done, even in a practical way, and we commit that to your prayers
as well. But we thank the Lord for every child who came through the doors of Emmanuel last year, for every little life and for every little heart and for every little soul that the Lord gave to us, and the opportunity that we have to minister to them. We thank God for those who trusted Christ as Saviour, and we just pray that they would grow in grace and that they would walk in fellowship with the Lord and that they would get to know him more and more. And we pray, of course, for those who've not yet trusted him, that they would, through the teaching of God's word, come to see their great need of salvation and come to accept Christ as Saviour. We're grateful that the Lord protected us and kept us safe, kept us from serious sicknesses and diseases and accidents, both the missionaries, the children, and also our staff, our 18 teachers, and our 7 members of support staff. The Lord has done so much for us, and we want to give him all the glory. We thank him for helping us academically there on the compound, for seeing children to the point where they were able to do their exams, the 15 who sat for the primary leaving exam, the 4 who did their O-levels, and those who are at various other stages in the school. And we just pray that the Lord will continue to bless academically and to bless physically. Last year we participated in sports in the area. It was a new venture for the children. It was something new for them, and they were able to do very well. And we thank the Lord just for providing us with opportunities and giving us health and strength and the ability to do all of those things. And above all, we continue to pray that the Lord would bless Spiritual there at Emmanuel. But you know, I was thinking today, what are we among so many? We have 5 missionaries. Last year we had 351 children at the school. And yet, when we think of Uganda, there are 35 million people. 35 million. And over 50% of them are 14 years and under. And there is still a vast work to be done. And so I would ask you to continue to pray for us, continue to pray for the church, continue to pray for the school, but continue to pray also that God would raise up others to help to share this burden. Pray that the Lord would call forth labourers into his harvest field. I was thinking today about when the Lord appeared to Moses, and there was that personal revelation of the Lord to Moses when he appeared in the burning bush, and then there was how the Lord told him or presented the great need to him of how he had seen his people in Egypt and heard their cry and how he knew their sorrows. And he promised that he was going to deliver them. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt. But then the Lord said, come now therefore, and I will send thee. How was the Lord going to do it? He was going to send Moses. And I know over this weekend there will be many varied needs presented to each one of us. And I trust and I pray that even as we listen and as we hear and as we watch, that the Lord will speak to some of us and say, come now therefore, and I will send thee. And I trust that if the Lord would say that to you, that you would say, well, here I am, send me. That you would be ready and willing to do the work of God. Because I can say the Lord is faithful, and there is no greater privilege, there is no greater honour than to take God's word to the people and to present the gospel, especially to those who have never heard. Thank you for listening to God.
Thank you very much, Noreen, for giving that report. Trust the Lord will bless you and encourage you even as you come here tonight and spend the weekend with your home congregation before returning home. Now let me bid you welcome in the Saviour's name again. And to those who come to support this weekend, we're glad to see you. I want to remind you there's tea tonight for everyone here. Stay behind and enjoy a time of fellowship. I want to thank those who are our guest speakers, giving the reports this weekend. They've been mainly sitting up here near the front. And we want to thank Youth Fellowships for coming, Missionary Council representatives, Mission Board members, and all who are listening in on sermon audio. Adding to that, we have other missionaries with us tonight that we want to encourage in the Lord and welcome to the meeting, the Reverend and Mrs. Malcolm Patterson and the Reverend and Mrs. Graham, who are present here. It's also good to see our brother George McConnell and his wife. George has a very long-standing association with missionary work, presbytery level, mission board level, and missionary council level, and of course local church level as well. We thank him for all the encouragement he's been to us in the past. Mention has been made of the Reverend Kelly and his wife, and they handed over the work in Uganda some time ago to the mission board, and we welcome them in the Saviour's name. The Reverend Greer and Mrs. Greer, not too far away, we're delighted to have you tonight, brother and sister, and we trust that you'll be encouraged being with us this evening. And I think there's some members of the Macrofelt work team. They've been out doing work on a couple of occasions in Uganda, and that work is very much appreciated by the locals there, the missionaries in Uganda, but also by the mission board. We want to thank you tonight in the Saviour's name for all that you have done. And of course, Dr. Kearns and Mrs. Kearns, they're with us. The poor you with you always, they say. But 51 years ago, these meetings were commenced. Or if we're getting it accurate, Dr. Kearns, maybe 50 years ago, but this is the 51st missionary weekend, if you take all the years inclusively. We want to thank the Lord's servant for his vision all those years back, and for each successive ministry and all the elders that have served in the church over that period of time. What we are doing is we are maintainers. We are seeking to maintain the cause of the mission weekend and continue with this work. Four meetings altogether tonight, tomorrow night, and our regular services in the Lord's Day. We say to you, plan to attend. We don't want to take you away from your own services in the Lord's Day, but do pray for all the meetings. Various reports from around the world. You'll see that in the programme, what's happening at each meeting. I want to thank the singers who are taking part over the weekend. We thank the Reverend Brown, Reverend David Brown, for kindly consenting to be the speaker. Every meeting he'll be the guest speaker, God willing. So he comes with a message from the Lord. Each meeting he has prepared his heart before the Lord, and there's a word in season undoubtedly at each meeting. So thank you, brother, for consenting to come. He's a recent member to the mission board, and we value that. And he's the president of the Youth Council, and that ties in the two very, very nicely. Special offerings will be received over the weekend, going to the various works that are represented here. We will be, just to mention, launching a container project. We did this a few years back and sent not just one but three containers to Romania, and we're going to do the same, God willing, later on this year, maybe in the month of May. But there are little cards, and there's a piece of paper to go with that if you want to see in more detail those things that we're looking for. We have received gifts already. So we're coming just in a moment or two to the offering, but I was out visiting yesterday and I received a gift of £180. I received another gift of £60, and we want to thank those that have contributed. Do pray for Sylvia this time. We mentioned that, our choir director, that the hand of the Lord will be upon her to touch her, strengthen her, and to restore her completely to her health. I want to thank Joe Cosley for printing our order of service. He does it every year. He does it free of charge, and it is his contribution towards our weekend. So we thank Joe sincerely in the Lord's great name. There are some calendars of Nepal left. The committee here, we purchased these. We have been giving them out to our seniors. If you would like one of these, especially if you're a senior, take it. Pray for the work in Nepal as the gospel continues to be proclaimed there. And there are some of these recipe books for Romania left over. If you want to take a copy, leave a gift. They're there at the door as you leave on the left-hand side. Now we sing a hymn as we bring in the offering.
We trust that God will not only touch our hearts, but touch our pockets too in our offering giving, and our giving to the offering work, our missionary giving. And we sing this hymn, Go Through With God. Above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee, O leave thy all and follow me. May the Lord help us by his grace to go through with God even tonight in this service. We'll keep our seats and have the offering for God's work. Sister Miss Margaret Russell is also here tonight, and we welcome her. She's a veteran missionary, has been on the mission field for a number of decades, served the Lord in the land of Kenya, as you know. So we welcome Margaret sincerely in the Lord's name. Soon the missionary challenge will be brought by our brother, the Reverend Brown. But just before that, we're going to ask David McCauley to come and bring a report. He gave the extended version last night at our prayer meeting. Tonight he's giving the abbreviated version as he speaks about the 3 months that he spent in Kenya just at the end of last year. David, you're welcome to your home congregation. May the Lord bless your report.
Well, we are thankful again that we're able to give a report about how God had led us to Kenya and helped us there. And not just for what we have done, but also for how he is moving there in Kenya and continues to move. It was last year, the 5th of September, that me, myself and my wife left to go to Kenya. And initially we were there for a week or so being orientated in Katale. And that is where Miss Margaret Russell and the Patterson are kind of based around that area. So it was our privilege to meet with those missionaries get to know them personally. They were a great encouragement and a great help to us while we were there. So after those initial few days of getting orientated and getting told what we would be doing, we then moved to Kakamega, which is about 2.5 hours south of Kitale. I was working alongside a man called Patrice. He is a man who's just come under the mission board himself just before I arrived to Kenya. And Patrice was a big blessing to us because he is from the area of Kakamega himself, and so he was able to help us culturally, and he knew the area if ever we needed help as well. So we were blessed to have him there. So I would ask you to pray for Patrice. There's another man called Andrew who I would request prayer for as well. He has just come under the mission board as well. So please pray for these Kenyan men who are labouring amongst their own, that the Lord would just give them strength and they would be faithful in their labours there too. So what were we doing for those 3 months? Well, in Kakamega, close to Kakamega, about 35 minutes drive from where we live, there's a church called Nyaporo. And while we were there on the Sundays, we were able to do the discipleship course on the Sunday afternoon with them. Now, the course had 7 main topics which were needing addressed. We got through the first 3 of those while we were there. So unfortunately, we didn't get it finished for different reasons. But the topics we dealt with were who am I in Christ, prayer, and Bible study. So you can imagine then, huge topics to deal with just an hour for each class. So we had no problems lengthening the course, just to do it justice, and rather than trying to rush it and get it done. So there's the discipleship course on the Sunday, and then on the Wednesday in Nyaporo, there was also the prayer meeting. So again, I was to speak there each week, and with the help of Patrice interpreting for me. And I would just ask you to remember those things in Nyaporo in your prayers. Remember Nyaporo in your prayers. And Patrice will, of course, be taken on where I left off with the course. So pray that that would continue in the near future. In the town then of Kakamega itself, it's a huge university town. So there's students everywhere. And I would say that the majority of our work there, not all of it, but the majority, was with the students. Also in the town there is the Bible bookshop, Beulah Bible Bookshop, which Kathy Walker had started there. And it's doing well, but it's not just a bookshop. I would say it's like a hub in the town there. It's like a library as well. People would come, they would take the books off the shelves, and they would use the library or the bookshop to sit and study. And for Patrice or myself, if we are studying in there as well, especially for Patrice, he liked to study in the bookshop. But just that presence, whenever someone was coming to read or to study in the bookshop, Patrice would be there if they had ever any questions. So even for discipling, even for teaching there, it is a great hub for those students who would maybe come on their lunch breaks or between classes. And also in the bookshop, there was the Bible study every Tuesday. And it lasted for about an hour in the afternoons. And so we got to speak there for about 40 minutes. And then after that, it was opened up to them for questions or further discussion. And I would say that we were very encouraged and very impressed even with the attentiveness of the people that came to those Bible studies. They didn't come just for the crack, as we would say. I'm sure they could have found more things to do on their lunch breaks, but they really did come to learn, and they came to be taught, and we appreciated that while we were there. The running theme of the 3 months really became pointing them to God's Word, really, for God's Word to have that final authority on everything that they believed and everything that they did. And we were pleased to see some of the young people even taking that on board at the time we were there. And oftentimes when they had a question after the study, if they didn't agree, then we would say to them, well, if you don't agree with us, you're going to have to bring scripture to the table, and then we can move on from there. And as I said, they really started to grasp that. So pray for the Bible study. It continues every Tuesday with Patrice carrying that on as well. So connected to the bookshop, there was the book table that happened every Friday. And It was used as an evangelistic tool in the markets there. It happened on the Friday, as I say, about 10:30 a.m. to about 4 p.m. And as I say, it was a beneficial outreach. We did note that some of the people we met in the markets there did come to the Bible study. And there were lots of Bibles sold there as well. So again, I mention these things not just because we did them while we were there, but they do continue to be done. And pray especially for Patrice and Andrew and the Pattersons and Margaret Russell. They're still there, labouring, doing these things. So pray for them. So you can probably see there's lots of opportunities to be in God's work in Kenya. And you might be saying, well, there are those Kenyans doing the work. There's Patrice and there's Andrew joining. Do we still need missionaries? And I would say, yes, absolutely. If you are thinking of going to Kenya, you will find yourself very busy. And the way I think I can put it best is, anything you can think of to do for the Lord here, you can do it in Kenya. It's just a matter of location. And so if you feel challenged to go into missions, think of Kenya, pray for Kenya, and I trust that God will lead you, if it's His will, to go there. But I will say, just in closing, pray for the Kenyan believers as well. There is much opportunity at hand for them to really take hold of the work and move forward for themselves. And so pray. Andrew and Patrice are just examples of that. So in praying for labourers, the verse has already been mentioned that the field is white already to harvest. Pray for people to go, definitely. But pray for the Kenyans. Pray that they would get the zeal, the vision themselves, to move forward for the work of the Lord there. And so thank you for your time again. And just please pray about these matters for God's glory. Amen.
Thank you, David. And just as he takes his seat and Reverend Brown's coming in a moment to preach, a couple of wee things to say. Pray for David and pray for Rachel, that the Lord will continue to guide them concerning their own future as they seek out the mind and the will of God concerning where they will serve the Lord in the coming days. The missionaries who have taken part tonight will ask to go to the door. Not everyone will maybe go that way. Some will go this way to get the tea, get into the queue if you've got a long distance to go especially. But those that go out to the door can shake hands with the missionaries who have taken part tonight. And the tea will be served out there in the Carson complex. Welcoming those who are from other countries tonight. Welcome that big fellow that's just taking a seat. His name's Nathan. And he's from the south of Ireland, from Limerick. He came up and he joined us last year. And he's Nathan Nugent. He's Jerry's son. And Nathan, you're welcome in the Lord's name to Ballymoney again. Have a good weekend among us. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
You will notice as the other brethren walk out of the pulpit, they say, God bless you. And away they go. Thank you, brethren. Delighted to be with you this weekend in Ballymoney. I couldn't help but smile when I saw the youth choir up singing there. The last time I was visiting some of your homes when I was placed here for that year or so, I recall some of those young men. During that visit, they were climbing the sofa behind me, jumping from one sofa to the other. They've grown up, they are serving the Lord, and we're glad to see that indeed. Delighted to be with you. It's my burden tonight that everyone here would feel the personal responsibility of making sure before God you're doing all you personally can to advance the cause of the gospel at home and abroad. Furthermore, I trust tonight that God will particularly speak to some in regards to leaving all and going to wherever the Lord has prepared for you. Please take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'll commence the reading at the verse 1.
The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. To whom the words of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. And those first 3 verses give you the historical setting. They give you the geographical location. So this is not a fictional book. It happened in a particular place, in a particular time in history. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Amen. Please bow with me in a word of prayer. I would ask you to pray not only for the man behind the pulpit, but to pray for yourselves, and to pray that God indeed would very clearly speak tonight. Now, in these next 20 minutes or so, that God would bring a real challenge, and from this day forward, there would be some called into the work of God. Let's pray. Most holy God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, as creatures, Lord of dust, we bow before Thee. We recognize, Lord, that Thou art sovereign. And You, Lord, have a plan. And all things will work together that Your will shall be accomplished. And Lord, here tonight, You know the heart of each man and woman who sits in the pews. And Lord, I pray that Thou wilt speak. I ask of Thee, O Lord, the Word of God should definitely find a resting place in the hearts of some. Indeed, that we would all be challenged afresh, but particularly some, to leave all and follow Thee. O Lord, time is short. Life is brief. We pray, Lord, we'll make wise use of the time afforded to us. Be with us now. And Lord, I ask again, definitely speak tonight. And we pray, Amen and Amen. The New Testament makes it very clear that God's plan is to send the gospel into all the nations of the world. We know all the New Testament texts, or at least some of them, particularly the Great Commission, where it says there, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16:15. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples in all nations, Matthew 28. And the verse 19. And you're familiar with those texts, but I wouldn't want you tonight Just to miss the seriousness and the significance of those verses, God is speaking not just to a few men, but to the church, telling the church, this is my divine plan to build my church, that you would go and make disciples of men. And that plan is absolutely ingenious. Go and make disciples, the Lord said to his disciples of that day and to us now. Why is that so ingenious? Well, for a number of reasons, but for our purposes tonight, because we all can do it. Anyone who is saved can be an instrument in the hand of God to lead someone else to Christ. We can all be involved in it. Whether poor or rich, whether educated or uneducated, we not only can make disciples, we are all definitely called to make disciples, to lead men and women to Christ, that they would follow him. You see, the Great Commission, which we just quoted there, is very often preached at missionary meetings like this, and rightly so. I considered preaching it myself, but because of that, maybe we get the impression that those texts, like go you into all the world and preach the gospel, that's just for missionaries. That's not for me. And that's a misunderstanding of the text. That's for every believer. If you're saved, if you're in the body of Christ, we are all called. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples there in Acts 1 in the verse 8. He said to them, go into Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria and all the world. That included everywhere, therefore. So whether it's your local community, as one of the brethren in the week of prayer put it well, maybe that's your local community, your Jerusalem, your city, Jerusalem, or your community, Judea, or you're reaching into the continent, Samaria, or all the ends of the world, we all have somewhere to make disciples for Christ. You see, we read clearly in the New Testament that it's God's plan to send the gospel into all the nations. But can I ask you, is that just a New Testament plan? Has God just told the New Testament church, this is your new task? No. It's always been God's plan to do this from the very beginning. If I asked you tonight, and I remember my first year in college, one of our lecturers came in and he said to his men, show me in the Old Testament the Great Commission. Show me in the New Testament missionaries going into all the world and preaching the truth. It's a good question. I want to show you just for a moment or two here, just to make it clear in our minds, this has always been God's plan. Always. If you go to the book of Genesis, please, and the chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, look what it says here. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. So everyone spoke the same language. No language barrier. And they began to gather together and build the Tower of Babel. They didn't want to be scattered, it says there. In verse 4, and they said, go, this is all these men are gathering together, go to, let us build us a city, and the tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now the Lord actually commanded man to inhabit the whole earth, and here they are saying, no, we want to stay together. Why was that? Well, if they're all clumped together, they will be able to pursue all their sinful lusts and desires. There's plenty of people there, plenty of ideas, plenty of ability to pursue all kinds of sin. The Lord says that in verse 6, at the very end there, now they will not be restrained from everything they have imagined to do. So the Lord came down the Tower of Babel there, and he confused them. He gave them different languages, and they could not communicate one with the other. And there, at that moment, they all then went in to their language groups.
and the nations were born. Different language groups now. Does that mean that everyone whose language was confused had no way of verbally hearing the way to be right with God? Would they not hear that there is a Messiah and you must trust in Jehovah? Well, the nations were born in chapter 11. Immediately, you come to the chapter 12. Even the end of chapter 11, but particularly chapter 12, we're introduced now to a man. His name is Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, leave your home, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Here is God taking a man from his home, and he sends him into a new land, and there in that land he would bear a witness for the glory of his God. And this man would be a father of a nation. And if you turn with me to Genesis 18, look what it says here. And I want you tonight just pay careful note to the word nations. That's in the Great Commission there as well, isn't it? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Look what it says here, Genesis 18, the verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. The nations are born, they're scattered, foreign languages, different tongues. And as soon as that scattering happens, God takes our attention to a man he's going to call and to be a witness in a different land. And it's said here often, he will be a blessing to the nations. Elsewhere it says, he will be a blessing to all the earth. What does that mean? Well, first and foremost, it means from the loins of Abraham would come the Savior. From Abraham there would come the Messiah who would deliver people from all nations, not just the Israelites, but all nations. Praise God! The same promise was given to his son Jacob. The same promise was given to Isaac. Isaac, then Jacob. I could take you right through the Old Testament. We'd go to Exodus 9, where it said to Moses in regards to Pharaoh, that I have raised up Pharaoh that I might show my might to the nations. It was said there to Joshua, Joshua, I have opened the seas. I'm paraphrasing here. I have opened the seas that you may pass through them, and the nations will hear of my might, and they will fear Jehovah. That's what God said to Joshua. The Lord was showing Joshua, I am doing these miracles to preach to the nations. And you know what? It worked. Because when the sea opened, it spread, word of that spread round the whole country. And I know that because when you go into the book of Joshua and we go to Jericho, there was a woman there whose name was Rahab. And Rahab heard of what God was doing. And I believe that Rahab had submitted herself to God. She put her trust in Jehovah. That's why when the spies came, they were received and she took care of them. You see, God was delivering people out of the nations. You can look at Ruth as well, brought out of another nation. What about Jonah? Jonah, that missionary that was sent, didn't go, but then eventually did go to the place he was commanded, into a city that was 3 days' journey. That means you have to walk 3 days to get from one side of the city to the other. And he went in and he preached the gospel. And what happened? He preached repentance, actually. He preached repentance, which is the gospel. And what happened? They repented. They turned from their sin. God is saving the nations. You see that in Isaiah. You see it in Daniel, Zephaniah, Haggai. You see it in Malachi. You see it right throughout the Old Testament. Do you know what's beautiful? We burst into the New Testament. And it's no surprise then that after Christ has risen from the dead, he says to his disciples, as the message always has been, men, go into all the world and continue to preach the gospel. And then you come to Revelation And I can't help but be excited. Because in Revelation 5 and in Revelation 7, what does it say there? There's a group of people and they're singing. They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who redeemed us." And do you know who they are? The Bible tells us. They are those of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. Do you understand what that means? God's plan has always been to take the word of God, the truth, to all the nations that they might be gathered in. And Revelation shows us his plan is working. For right now, God is gathering them in. There's people from all nations already there. And someday there'll be a chorus rising up in eternity to come of all people praising God for saving them. And I would exhort you, dear believer, endeavor to be a part of this divine plan, bringing in the nations for the glory of God. Maybe you're not even saved tonight. This is what it means to be saved as well, you know. Not only are you brought into the kingdom of God, but you become an instrument through which the Lord will bring others as well. It would be lovely for you to be saved tonight and involve yourself in this great plan of seeing the gospel carried into the nations. So, sending the gospel to the nations has always been God's plan. Secondly, and I have only two thoughts tonight, the question then is why or how? How does God do this? How does he take the truth into all the nations? Well, secondly, sending people to carry the gospel to the nations has always been God's method. The Lord has always accomplished this by sending people to leave their homes, to go into places where there is a foreign tongue, foreign culture, whatever the case may be, and there take the truth that the choir was singing about, Jesus sees. But that brings us to your reading in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and the verse 4. These are magnificent words, always worthy of pausing for a moment to read. It says in verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." And I pray tonight that the word of God will come not only to us all, but particularly to some individual. And look what the Lord's word was for Jeremiah. Verse 5, this is a particular message for him, tailor-made. It says in verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." Here is God's man to carry the gospel, to carry the truth of repentance, to carry the truth of looking to Jehovah for the Messiah. This is God's man to do it. You see, the Great Commission, like I said, is for everyone. It's for everyone to play a part. But sometimes God calls particular people to leave all, to leave their home, to leave their language, to leave their culture, and to go far away and preach to people the truth of this book of God's word. And that's how he brings the nations in. I want to encourage everyone here, of course, tonight to be involved in this. I would even say in a practical note, perhaps this year, everyone here, you could take, what, 2%? Just 2% of your year, 7 days or so, and take it as a block amount of time and use that maybe to go to the mission field, like the group from Ballymoney here. There's many ways of doing so. The Youth Council have outreach teams this year, one going to Limavady, one going to Liverpool, and one going to Liberia. There's other opportunities as well. And you could give a week of your year, just that 2%, and go and serve the Lord. And I can guarantee you that 2% will change how you live the rest of your year. But maybe the opportunity is not there to go to the mission field. You can still take that 2%, that 1 week of your whole year, and maybe go and work in your place of employment. And what you earn, you could dedicate to the work of God. That's still serving the Lord and giving 2% of your year to the Lord. I mean this as being supplementary to what you do every day. You're praying and you're tithing and you're serving. But a blocked amount of time. Or you could take a week of your year and dedicate it to prayer. Pray, get a list of all the missionaries, maybe all of the churches, all our ministers, people that you know, and take a whole week and pray. Would that not be remarkable if everybody in this room just took a block amount of time, 2% of your year, and did something like this? Door-to-door work, prayer, go to a mission field, whatever the case may be. But perhaps tonight, your burden's too great for that. You don't want to give just 7 days. You don't want to give 77 days. You don't want to give just 1 year. Your burden is such tonight that you need more, and you know God is calling you not to give a few days, but to give your life. To leave all and go. And that was the case with Jeremiah here. Then read verse 5 with you. Just the end part of that verse, where God says to Jeremiah, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And perhaps there is someone here, and the Lord has been burdening you, and you know that, and you've sensed that for a while. The Lord's been placing the mission field upon your heart, and you feel it. You're troubled. And that verse, if that verse resonates with you, my friend, this is God's word to you tonight. I have ordained you. But maybe as you sit and God speaks into your heart, the first question, the first statement comes to your mind is, but I'm just not experienced enough. I'm just not maybe educated enough. There's more things I need to learn. Essentially, you feel like a child. A child is inexperienced in life. A child has much to learn. If that's how you feel tonight, that's exactly how Jeremiah felt. If you're sitting there tonight, God is calling you, you feel like a child. Read verse 7, my friend. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go. You see, Jeremiah, the Lord wasn't asking you how you feel about yourself or for a personal assessment. The Lord said, Jeremiah, I have ordained you to go. That's it. Thou shalt go. And the Lord says, I will be with you. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Tonight, we are all called. We are all called to play a part in global evangelization, whether that's in Ballymoney, Larne, the mainland, further afield. We all have a part to play, and we must always analyse and make sure that we are doing what we can to advance the cause of God. But just as we close, perhaps there is someone who is particularly challenged tonight. You felt the burden now. It's been there for a while. The opportunity is there for you. God's word is speaking to you tonight. Dear friend, life is so short. Every missionary will tell you the same as they finish their time on the field. They wish they could start all over again. They wish they could start younger. But tonight, whether you're young, maybe not so young, I don't know. The Lord, I believe, tonight would particularly leave that verse. I have ordained thee to go. And I pray tonight you would submit yourself to God, as we all ought to, that someday we may be in glory. Not only join with the nations who praise God, but as we stand there, see those whom the Lord called us to minister to, and see them standing before the throne praising God as well. Tomorrow night I want to bring your attention to difficulties across the world, the persecuted church and our own missionaries. I want you to come and pray indeed that God will bless this weekend and challenge us all that we would leave more missionary minded, because that, I believe, is God's will for us all. Everett Park.
Thank you very much, Reverend Brown. Just a wee word of prayer as we have heard the word tonight. It's good to take a moment before God and ask the Lord to lay it into our hearts, help us to retain it and keep it and feel the challenge of it. And it may be that the Lord has been stirring your heart. Just let me say, at any time over the weekend, come and speak with us. We can help you. Chairman of the mission board's here. Other ministers are here. Missionaries are here. We're here to encourage you to be involved in the Great Commission. Father, we thank thee for your word. We have felt the challenge of it again. You've given help to your servant who brought it. And we pray that our hearts will be touched, revived, that we will lift our eyes afresh and look on the fields, the home fields, the foreign fields, and ask the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We know that you have a work for every child of God that you've called in Greece. We pray that we will go forward this year to serve the living Christ, to preach his gospel, to exalt his name among men. And as we do so, and the people of God through the world seek to fulfill the Great Commission, we know that thou wilt gather in from the nations a great multitude, and souls will be saved and added to the church. Continue to bless your word, therefore, now to every heart, and stir our souls in the things of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You've only one life to give. You've only one life to live. And the closing hymn is bringing us face to face with this reality. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. May you give yourself to the Lord afresh for his work and his cause and kingdom. Thank you.
We have one final closing part tonight. We're going to hand it over to the chairman of the mission board, just to say that Norling returns to Uganda. She does so with the prayers and the support of those that are here tonight. I'm sure I can speak on your behalf. Maybe I'm a little bit biased when we think of missionaries. Norling is a missionary among missionaries, and she has served the Lord outstandingly. God opened a door for her, has blessed her, given her favour, given her souls, given her many contacts. Now, these people support you, Norling. They're not leaving. They're getting the kettle boiled. I think that's what they're ready to do. Get the tea wet, as we say, just in case you're wondering. The new term starts very soon, so she'll have a big task to do when she goes back to Uganda. When she left 19 years ago to go to Kenya, we gave her a text from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I couldn't think of a better text just to leave again with her. For the Lord says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Mission Board, Missionary Council, the Hebron Church, the denomination, will be holding the ropes for you, sister, in prayer, in support, as you return to Uganda. I ask the Reverend Harris now to come forward.
When a missionary comes home, usually they're asked to ground all of the various congregations once again and set before our own people, especially all of our prayer meetings, the various needs and the burdens of the work. We appreciate that Noreen has done that, and she's very relieved that she's come to the end of it. And we've had some great reports of the meetings that Noreen has been involved in, not just in her prayer meetings, Sunday meetings and youth meetings, even ladies' meetings and such. So we thank you, Noreen, for your labours once again and for the encouragement that you've been to so many around the congregations once again. And we would like, on behalf of the Mission Board, just to make a small presentation to you. I'll ask our treasurer, Mr. Alistair Hamilton, to come to the pulpit. I'll ask your good self, of course, to come up. And then afterwards, we're going to commit Noreen to the Lord in prayer. And so I would invite all of the members of our Mission Board who are present this evening, and any members of Presbytery, if you'd come up and join us, please, in the pulpit. I think if you come now, that will save any fuss afterwards.
Mr. Harris, thank you very much. It's my privilege tonight and pleasure to be able to make this presentation to our sister Noreen. We do return thanks for the Lord's blessing in Noreen as she's travelled around the churches in deputation. It is quite a challenge to go around all of the churches and present the message, but we thank the Lord has given her blessing, travelling mercies even as she's travelled around the country to meet with everyone, telling you all of the great call that she felt and to leave the land of Kenya and travel across there and take up the challenge in the work of Uganda. And surely the work in Uganda has captured our hearts. I know Samuel was talking about the privilege to go out there later on this year, but those of us who have had the privilege already of being there and spending some time in the school, I can tell you it definitely does touch your heart to see that school, to spend time with the children, and to see the great need that is out there, both practically in terms of their education, but spiritually in terms of their life that lies ahead of them. And that heart connection is very evident, I can tell you tonight, in the way that the people across our churches have supported Noreen in her deputation meetings. This is a point of confirmation for Noreen. It's a point of confirmation for all of our missionaries when they get to this stage. When they return back home and they go round the churches and seek to raise the funding again that allows them to go back onto the field for another 3-year term. And I can say to you tonight that the generosity of the people across our churches has been really remarkable in the way that the funds have come forward to allow you, Noreen, to go back out onto the field again. And I would just want, on behalf of the board tonight, to say a really big thank you to you and to all of the people across our churches who have given so generously to support our sister Noreen at this time. Since we have taken over the school in Uganda, there is much to do from an administration point of view. There is the registration of the school, which Noreen talks about in her video. But there's also a lot of work behind the scenes in terms of financial budgeting, planning and reporting. And I know Noreen will probably smile a little bit at that. I say it very quickly in one sentence, but it belies an awful lot of work that lies behind it. So personally, on my behalf and on behalf of Glenda, who does so much work in the office, I'd like to publicly thank Noreen tonight for setting up a lot of the financial reporting and the accounting systems there and getting them all into shape so that we can run budgets in the school as we're required to do from this year forward. As I watched Noreen's deputation video, and I must admit I've watched it a few times now, there is a line in that video that really stands out to me. And Noreen says, and I quote, "When the Lord calls you, the going is not the difficult part, it's the leaving." Now, I know, Noreen, you were talking about leaving Kenya whenever you said that, but I'll translate it a little bit tonight into the meeting that we're in and this going forth service. And I know it will be difficult for you to leave home and leave Ballymoney, leave Northern Ireland, leave your friends and family. But all I can say is that we ask tonight that the Lord would bless Noreen as she goes forth back to Uganda, back to her calling. And that you, as the Lord's people, as our brother Mr. Brown has said tonight, would take that 2%. And if you can do none of those other things, then pray. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Noreen specifically tonight as we send her forth again back into the mission field. And pray that the Lord would bless her. And that all of those things that she left in her prayer requests, all of those ambitions that she has for her work in this incoming year, that the Lord would bless her and enable her to see those delivered across this incoming term in Uganda. So Noreen, it's my pleasure on behalf of the Mission Board tonight to make a small presentation to you, a little love gift from the Mission Board as you go forth again out to serve the Lord in the land of Uganda. Lord bless you.
All right, well, I just want to thank the Mission Board for this presentation. It was totally unexpected. I also want to thank you for all your support. It is a great burden off the missionary to know that the support is there to keep us on the field and we can get on with the work. And just to encourage you, as Mr. Hammond has already said, to pray for all of us who serve the Lord, that God would be with us in this new year and that we would see great things done for him. Thank you. May God bless you.
So we can invite now all of these shy members of Presbytery to come up to the pulpit and join with us. We'll all stand together, please, and we'll have a word of prayer. Sending Noreen back, we know, as principal of the school, but those of us who have been out there know that she's much more than principal of the school to all of those children. When they knock at her door, they don't address her as the principal, she's their mother. So remember, please, all of those personal relationships in your prayers that the Lord will undertake and the Lord will guide. And as Noreen goes back on the 21st, that the Lord will go before her and prepare the way and undertake in all the details. So let's please unite our hearts together in prayer. Our eternal God and loving Father, we thank thee for this service this evening, and we thank thee for a sense of God's divine presence in our gathering. And we return thee thanks once again that we're about the Master's business in sending forth one of thy chosen servants into thy harvest field. And we thank thee this evening that we're sending our sister Miss McAfee not only back as principal of the Emmanuel Christian School, but we're sending her back as a mother in Israel to those many children that are under her charge. We pray that thou will grant unto her thy divine help and divine enablement. We thought at the commencement of the service this evening of the necessity of the Spirit of God to do the work of God. And I pray that thou, the Holy Spirit, will breathe afresh upon Noreen and fill her by thy power and grant her divine enablement to not only be principal in the school, but to be mother to all of those children under her charge. We thank thee for each and every one of them. And we pray that Noreen will not only have the joy of seeing them grow up physically, academically, but spiritually as well. We thank thee, Lord, for many of them who even in the past few years have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for all of those dozens of children who last year were able to recite the catechism. We thank thee, Lord, for progress, for blessing, and we pray that thou wilt continue thy hand of blessing upon the life and witness of the school. We commend thy servant to thee in these closing days at home with her dear mother and family be with her, and we pray as she would prepare to leave that thou wilt give to her much needed grace and even joy in her heart in doing and knowing that she is doing the will of the Lord. Remember, we ask of thee those that are left behind, be unto them all that they need thee to be. Bless Mrs. McAfee, bless Noreen's sister and her family, her brother and their family, and undertake for them all. We look to thee, Lord, and as we commend now thy servant to thee, we pray that she might have that peace of God abiding deeply in her heart and life, and just the divine assurance of God's presence with her as she would go forth again. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. You may be seated. As supper will be served, we will give thanks for the food. And then the missionaries who took part tonight, if you go to the door and anyone goes past you, can greet you. Father, we thank thee again for this service, for your presence, for your word. We pray that you'll accept our thanks now for the good things that have been provided for us. Help us all to eat and drink to your glory and give travelling mercies home. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.